As we begin a lesson this morning, we are reminded of the many people who did not accept Jesus Christ. We think of Judas, who was with him all through his ministry and yet betrayed him at the end and committed suicide. Of course, there were many Jews who did not accept Jesus as well, and they turned on him and crucified him. They didn't recognize that they were doing the Father's will when they did that, but nevertheless, they did turn their back on Jesus. As we see so many that did deny the Lord, it's wonderful to be able to talk about someone who didn't deny the Lord, the baptizer of Jesus, who's called John. And we'll be looking at that this morning because of all the people that you think in the ministry of Christ leading up to his ministry, John was one of the most faithful of all. He never took too much pride in himself. He never went above what God wanted him to be. And he was always faithful to the mission that God appointed him. So in John chapter 3 and verse 30, we read about the fact that John understood what he must do. In verse 30, it is said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. John was ready to do what God appointed him to do. And the ministry and attitude of John is such that it was something that was contained in prophecy. God planned the plan of redemption. It's amazing to think about the fact that from Genesis 3:15 onward, all through the Bible, the theme of the Bible was redemption. And John was appointed the fact that he was going to be speaking about this Christ and that he would be able to be the one who would foretell him coming. So if you turn to Isaiah chapter 40, you see a number of prophecies in the Old Testament that had to do with the coming of Christ because it was planned so very carefully. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So you see that this was not an accident, that this was something planned. Isaiah, of course, did not understand who that prophet would be, but nevertheless it was something that he could understand. When you look at the book of Malachi, which was the last of the Old Testament books, you understand also that Malachi was one of those prophets that talked about him coming, that John was coming. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, God said through Malachi, behold, I send my messenger, he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, saith the Lord of hosts. These are very clear prophecies, and the Jews had that sense of anticipation that someone was coming, that some Redeemer was coming. The trouble was that they had in mind the wrong kind of the Redeemer. They were under the Roman rule at the time that Jesus was born, and that they believed that the Redeemer, the Messiah, would come with an army and destroy the Romans and set them up again as an independent kingdom. They really didn't understand the nature of the kingdom of Christ, and we talked about that this morning in the book of Hebrews. So when you begin looking at all of this, you recognize that though the prophet spoke clearly about this, that they didn't understand that. In chapter 4 of the book of Malachi, beginning with verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with the curse. The last word of the Old Testament is a curse. And there are many people who, many among the Jews that didn't like that. They really wanted Malachi to be different, but he was saying the truth. and that one in the power and spirit of Elijah was going to come before the great and notable day of the Lord would come. And that was something that was spoken of in the New Testament as the New Testament writers began to speak and record the will of God about this particular incident, this coming of the Messiah. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 17, the prophet said, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so this is the message of John, that John was saying these things, and he never left his place. He always kept a sense of humbleness, but he was always dedicated to doing what was right. And so in fulfillment, we see this taking place in the New Testament, in the Gospels. I won't read all of them, but in Matthew chapter 3, we have a notice of what is being said about John and the fact that he was fulfilling what the prophets had said about him. And as a side thought, prophecy is the one thing that atheists cannot deny. You see, when somebody is told by God a prophecy that comes true, then you know that they had the power from God. A false prophet could prophesy anything, but the test of a prophet would be when he spoke the will of God and it came to pass. And so we see this in the Bible. In Matthew 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And so they recognized that this was the one that fulfilled the prophecy. By the way, it says in Matthew 3, John the Baptist. Now, some have taken that out of context and try to say that John started the Baptist church. That's been debated a number of times when people in the Baptist church will say that John started the Baptist church. It's very easy to prove that's not true, because John was beheaded by Herod long before Jesus completed his ministry. And in Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." And that was after John had already been beheaded. And so the church that belongs to Christ is not the Baptist church. And people take that out of context when they try to say that it is. And so we have then all of these fulfillments of the prophecies. To go to John chapter 1, John's message is very impressive as you read about what John records, and you recognize that this was the will of God taking place and not what some man was trying to say. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, this is the testimony of John himself. Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the paths of the Lord." So he acknowledged that God was sending him to do the message for the Messiah. He understood the prophet Isaiah. He understood about the Christ. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered him, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he coming after me as preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, if you recall that when Jesus came to John to be baptized, he recognized that he said, "I'm the one that needs to be baptized," but Jesus says, "Suffer me." And so he baptized Jesus. Now, while Jesus was in the water, and you see, it's amazing how one scripture will fill out the truth about other scriptures. Because as John came up out of the water, or Jesus came up out of the water, you have Jesus in the water, you have the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and then you have the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So that supports and certifies the Trinity. Now, a lot of people fuss about the Trinity. There's a Pentecostal group known as Jesus Only, and they believe that Jesus was the Holy Spirit and Jesus was the Father, and they say Jesus only. Well, here's a passage. It's interesting to know that every scripture pre-knows false doctrine. Isn't it amazing that you can go to the Bible and every false doctrine can be revealed? But because the Bible is so complete, because we don't have to add new things. When God revealed the Bible, He revealed the truth so completely that any error that ever comes up is already condemned by the Bible. That's why John said in 1 John 3, "Try the spirits." There are many false prophets gone out into the world. And so here are the things that are being said then about Jesus and about John. His attitude was one of honesty. The Pharisees came and tried to find out who he was. "I am not the Christ." He understood this. He was willing to say that. And so when you look at John chapter 1, beginning of verse 24, we read just a moment ago, "Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?'" You understand that John recognized that he came in the spirit of Elijah. He came in the spirit of the prophet. Now, the prophet back in Deuteronomy, Moses said that after he dies, there'll be a prophet like me that will be, and hear ye him. Well, he was talking about the Christ. He was the prophet. Jesus was the prophet. And he said, "No, I'm not the prophet. I'm not the Christ." He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So you have the thing about John that so impresses me. He was so accepted by the people. Had he wanted to try to be the Christ, they would have accepted him as the Christ. But he had such honesty and understanding of his role that he would not do that. And so they had contentment and humility and understanding the appointment of what he is supposed to be. He knew that God had appointed him for a mission, and he never wavered. And that's what's so impressive about John, because so many times you have people you have a person that the people elevate, and they elevated John. He could have veered had he had that kind of human pride, but he was always honest in doing what he said. He said he must increase, but I must decrease. He understood what he was sent to do. He was to introduce the Christ. He was to be the witness of the Christ. And it's something when you look back at the Gospels, Elizabeth and Mary were kinspeople, and Jesus and Mary and Elizabeth came together, and as Elizabeth came up to Mary, the babe in her womb jumped for joy, which also teaches that abortion is wrong, because the baby, and the word for baby used in that verse that was in the womb, is the same word for baby after they're born. And so it's amazing how full the scriptures are about these things. But John was ready to be the voice crying in the wilderness. And the doctrine of John, he must increase, I must decrease. He understood that Jesus was going to be teaching the right way. Romans chapter 1, of course, is very familiar. The gospel is the power to salvation is the gospel. And Paul was ready to preach that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there was the admonition that we all teach the same thing and understand what has been taught in the Bible. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you'll go with me there, we have the statement beginning in verse 14. Paul was saying about himself. Paul was another who never wavered once he was called. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I did not whether I baptized any others. And so you have here the fact that Paul wanted to elevate Christ. He hid behind the cross of Christ. And that's what we need to do too. I had a brother in North Carolina come and hold a meeting for us, and he had just come from Columbus, Ohio. And they had a meeting up there, and they had a baptism. And the local preacher came to this man and says, "Now who's going to get credit for this? Does the visiting preacher get credit? Does the local preacher get credit?" His answer was, "Let's just let the Lord have this one." And see, that's the kind of attitude that John had. That's the kind of attitude that Paul had. And we have to recognize that we're not to go beyond the doctrine of Christ. And this is what John was saying. He must increase, I must decrease. And of course, you understand the sad end of John, because he preached to Herod that the woman that you have is not your own. She belongs to another. Well, here this brings up again the marriage bond. A lot of people don't recognize what the Bible is saying. When you look at what the Bible is saying about marriage, it is one man, one woman for life, with one exception. And that exception is adultery. And when you look at this, this passage, this is saying that you can't go beyond the gospel of Christ. You can't go beyond the doctrine of Christ if you don't have God. So even with regard to marriage, divorce, and remarriage, it's an important thing to recognize that we teach God's will, because in today's world, marriage is not respected. It is not considered something that's important. We have to understand that. So those who teach contrary to this doctrine increase themselves and would decrease Christ. That is, they elevate themselves above that. And we're not to have the traditions of men, Matthew chapter 15. Don't have the traditions of men above the will of Christ. And when you look at Galatians chapter 1, the admonition was that those who preach another gospel, not the gospel of Christ, will stand under the anathema or curse of God. And you see these things very clearly being taught. So John led up to this. John saw that he must decrease. He was going to go away. And he had a sad and tragic death. But he remained true. And while he was in prison, John sent a messenger to Jesus. And you see the humanity of John. Are you the one? Are you the Christ? Or do we seek for another? And Jesus sent back the word, "Just tell John what you've seen and heard." So John would have recognized the miracles of Jesus, provide the authenticity of Jesus as well. And so again, John came as a subject of prophecy. He came that he might give witness. In John chapter 1, after he was baptized, after Jesus was baptized, he saw him on another day, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." John was able to be a testator, to tell people about the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. I don't think we study much about John. He's sort of one of those lost individuals of the Gospels, living actually under the law. But nevertheless, he's a person to be admired. Hope we can have the same kind of thinking. He recognized that the discipleship of Jesus was what was important. If you turn to the book of Luke in chapter 14, you'll notice beginning with verse 25, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." John understood who the Christ was. Now it's up for us today to understand the same thing. And notice what he's saying. He's not teaching hate against your family, but it's the idea that if you love him less than your family, you can't be his disciple. We have to have such a love and trust in God that we put him first. Matthew 6:33, that if we put the kingdom of heaven first, all these other things will be added to us. Now, this calls for real discipleship. And Jesus understood what it meant to have disciples. But many of the disciples, the Bible tells us that when he had the miracle of the loaves and fishes, that many people followed Jesus because of the food they could get. Well, that's sort of the social gospel today. A lot of people use churches as a handout, that you give me something for nothing. And that's the way a lot of people look at the churches. The church is just something to give me something. But Jesus was saying that discipleship is a whole lot more than that, and that we need to understand that as well. And so false discipleship elevates one's own will. Matthew chapter 7 speaks of the narrow way and the broad way. And each of us has a choice to make in our lifetime. We come to a crossroads. Everybody does. You come to a crossroads in your life. You want to go the easy way, that's the broad way, and it's easy to go that way. But there's a choice to be made, and discipleship demands a sacrifice, even of your family if it comes down to that, and that you have to be willing to make that choice so that you'll go to heaven. You see, this is what it's all about. It's not a matter of just doctrine. It's not a matter of just believing what is right. The crossroads that you're going to make in your lifetime is whether or not you really want to go to heaven. And when you make that decision, everything else falls into place. And that's what Jesus was saying. And so the true discipleship increases Christ. As you think about those who believed in Jesus Christ and those who walked by his side and those who became his disciples, look at John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Verse 30 says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's the promise that all of us have, that we can set free. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we have to have that kind of an attitude. I wish that I could have the determination of John. I wish that I could see clearly where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do. John had the grasp of what was right. He never wavered. He never veered. He stayed true even to the point of death, that he was going to be that disciple. And so the point that I'm making this morning as we close the lesson is that he must increase, John said, and I must decrease. Well, that applies to me too. I never want to rise above the teaching of the gospel about Jesus Christ. I have to let Jesus be above me in everything that I do, and to recognize that we hide behind the cross of Christ. The Lord's Supper this morning was so meaningful. It doesn't take much time to do the Lord's Supper. But when we have in our minds and hearts what it's all about, it's very significant. And we understand that we are doing what Jesus said to do. Do this in memory of me, when he instituted the Lord's Supper. And so let us let Christ increase in our life, recognizing that we decrease. Not that it's anything shameful or anything that we have less, but just that we elevate Christ to the true position that he occupies as the Son of God. So this morning we look at this and we recognize that we are to put Christ first in our lives. Now I know that sometimes we say that, but we don't really do it. But it comes down to what the Lord said. If Jesus walked in the door this morning and he said what he said to the apostles in Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16,
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Would you turn away from him? Or would you understand that that's the will of Christ and you'd be ready to obey the gospel? If there's someone here this morning who's ready to become a disciple of Christ, putting on Christ in baptism and walking in such a way that Christ is increased in your life, if so, we ask you to come to the front while we stand together and sing the invitation number. Would you come, please?